Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. It's my pleasure to give you the reports about the last PAC meeting on particle physics. The meeting took place on February 3 and 4. You see in front of you now the full agenda of the meeting, and today I will mainly be reporting about some of the highlights of that meeting that include reports on NICA, MPD and the BM-10. Then there is the Atlas upgrade that was seeking continuation. Then we had two revised proposals that were resubmitted, the NA64 and FASA, and we had a new theme composed of three experiments, MU2E, MEG2, and COMET. And then we had reports, progress reports from ALICE, ATLAS, and CMS. So let me start with the update, with the report from the Nucleotron NICA, the big progress, the big milestone that was achieved very recently was the completion of the booster installation, and so that now all the magnets are installed in the ring and the commissioning work has started. In parallel to that, there has been preparatory work for starting the collider assembly, a test of RF1 system and progress in the serial production of the collider magnet. In the next few months, there is a very significant list of milestones ahead of us. In May, June, the booster will be commissioned with BIM. In September, the booster to Nucleotron transport line shall be commissioned also. And the end of this year, we expect the first operation of the combination booster plus Nucleotron with BIM. And the assembly of the some collider elements will start already in this summer. So that is a very busy agenda for the machine people this year. On infrastructure, we had the comprehensive report on the infrastructure development, including the main four items, which are the construction of new buildings, the upgrading plans for the liquid helium and the liquid nitrogen, the upgrade of the power supply system, and the development of thermal grids and pipelines. We had a very open report from Agapov. He pointed out at the sources of delay in the civil construction and suggested the need to revise procurement procedures. On the MPD, is doing relatively well, making progress in getting ready to have all the detector elements of the first stage ready for installation and commissioning in 2021. In this picture, you can already see that there is some equipment that is already being transferred to the MPD hall, use the yokes of the MPD magnet. The ICAL production has started in Russia. In China, it should start production very soon. And the first funding was very recently allocated by the Ministry of Science and Technology from China. However, as was mentioned already this morning by Vladimir, this is only a partial funding for all the scope that they have to cover. The MPD is also continuing its efforts towards completion of the experimental setup for the heavy ion run that will be in 2021. And in the picture here, you could see the ambitious inner tracking system that is being developed and composed of four silicon stations and seven GEM stations. Now, project approved for completion and that is proposing continuation, that was the participation of the GINR group in the ATLAS upgrade. The PAC appreciates the progress made by the GINR group in fulfilling its obligation in the ATLAS upgrade project, in particular the continuation of mass production of the micromega chambers for the new small wheel of the muon spectrometer. Parallel to this, in addition to this presentation, we had, as you will see in a couple of slides, also another presentation from ATLAS reporting their progress in the analysis. This somehow does not go in line with our previous recommendation, and we reiterate our concern that the GINR ATLAS team is split into two groups, a group devoted to hardware and a group devoted to analysis. So our recommendation is, the PAC reiterates the recommendation made at its previous meeting to consider unifying the two GINR ATLAS projects, one devoted to physics analysis and operations, and the other focused on detector upgrade and R&D, into a single one. And we recommend the continuation of the GINR's participation in the upgrade project for the period 21-23 with first priority. Now, NA64, just a word of background. NA64 requested the extension at the previous PAC meeting, and we asked to reconsider the questions and the recommendations that were made at the time of the joint session of the nuclear for of the PAC for nuclear physics and the PAC for particle physics. So they came back with a revised version, and the PAC was very pleased to note that the action plan that was previously requested, namely to improve the ratio of FTE to participants, to attract students and to get involved in data analysis, is now satisfactorily addressed in the revised version. For example, the ratio of FTE to participant has increased by 60%. Four new students were attracted to participate in simulations, data analysis, electronics and detector development. And we recommend the continuation of GINR's participation in the NA64 project for the period 2021-2023 with first priority. FASA was also a revised project. Again, I would like to remind you that FASA was presented for the first time at the PAC in June 2019. At that time, we noted that similar work on multi-fragmentation of nuclei has been done some 40 years ago at Fermilab, CERN SPS, Bevatron, Bevalac. The PAC requested the authors to sharpen their scientific case, taking into account this earlier data, and to present a convincing case on how they can solve the still open question of breakup or thermalization in the multi-fragmentation of nuclei. We got the revised proposal, and the PAC considered that the authors have not overcome the criticism raised at the previous PAC session. The authors have not convinced the PAC that FASA is a detector capable of resolving the open question of the multi-fragmentation process. The FASA detector lacks isotope identification of light nuclei, like for example discrimination between helium-3, helium-4, lithium-6, lithium-7, beryllium-7, beryllium-9. We pointed out that data have shown almost 40 years ago that spectra of these isotopes are very different from each other, indicating different times in the reaction mechanism. Furthermore, the FASA detector has limited capability in measuring the full event in 4π geometry, and the PAC recommends rejection of the FASA project. Now, we got a new project at the last PAC. The project is titled Search for New Physics in the Charged Lepton Sector, and this included three experiments, Mu2E and MEC2, that were presented by Glagolev, and COMET, that was presented by Tsamalaitse. The PAC recognized the scientific merit of the topic that's been presented and the potential for new physics. The PAC considers the author's experience adequate to carry out this experiment. The PAC also notes the significant hardware contribution of GINR in the three experiments, and some of the examples are quoted there. However, the PAC considers that participation in three different experiments with very similar scientific goals and competing with each other is not fully justified and not in line with the spirit of the recommendations made at the joint session of the PAC for Particle Physics and the PAC for Nuclear Physics in January 2019. So consequently, our recommendation is the PAC proposes that effort and resources be focused on one single experiment, thus providing better conditions for the GINR team to achieve a stronger impact, visibility, and leadership in that experiment. Together with that, the PAC realizes the complexity associated with such a decision and thus recommends approval of the project with the three experiments, but only for 1 year. This should allow enough time for the proponents, in coordination with the DLNP director and the GINR management, to consider the PAC's proposal and to decide on their long-term involvement in this interesting physics project. Now, as I mentioned, we heard the comprehensive reports from the groups, the GINR groups participating in the LHC experiments. I can say that in general, the three reports from ALICE, ATLAS, and CMS were all three quite positive. For ALICE, for example, the group has published several results concerning photoproduction of light vector mesons in ultra-peripheral lead-lead collisions. And for the first time, they perform femtoscopic correlations in proton-lead collisions of identical charge kaons, and showing consistency with the prediction of hydrodynamic models. They are also interested in femtoscopic correlation analysis for pairs of opposite sign kaons produced in lead-lead collisions at 2.76 MeV. The PAC appreciates the efforts of the GINR team in physics analysis and encourages further increase of this effort. In response to previous recommendations made by the PAC concerning rejuvenation, three PhD and one undergraduate students were invited to work on the data analysis and are now part of the ALICE team. So the PAC requested the group to submit at the next PAC meeting a detailed plan of its future activities with a milestone. The ATLAS report, this is the part devoted only to analysis. The group members have continued their analysis in a variety of topics that you can see there. The structure of the proton at ultra-high energies, searches for resonances in booster jet plus photon final state and supersymmetry processes, search for pentaquark, for BC excited state, and the associated production of the TT-bar quark pair and Higgs boson were reported at various international conferences. The GINR group received an ATLAS software development grant to participate in the development of the event triggers. The PAC appreciates the group plans to continue the above mentioned analysis and expand its participation in the Atlas software development. Same goes for CMS. The PAC appreciates the contribution of the GINAR group in the search for extra gauge bosons, extra dimensions in the dimuon channel, the recent results on searches for extra Higgs boson decay into a pair of big quarks and muons, and the cross-section measurement of Drellian lepton pair production. The PAC also commends the operation and service work carried out by the group in the phase one upgrade project in the operation of the tier one and tier two computer centers, as well as the CMS regional operational center. And the PAC appreciates the GINAR's group activity in the R&D work of the phase two upgrade of the CMS detector. Now moving to another thing, we heard the report from the strategic long-range plans presented by Boris, Sharkov, and Naumov. This report was restricted to all those items that are of interest to this PAC, namely particle physics, heavy ion physics, and spin physics. I understand that at this session of the Scientific Council, you will get a much more detailed report about the almost final version of the strategic plan. We also heard a scientific report on pion emission at various stages of heavy ion collisions that was presented by Kolomeitsev, and the PAC thanks the speaker for his presentation. We had the pleasure of reviewing 18 posters in particle physics by young scientists from the Laboratory of Nuclear Problems, the Laboratory of Theoretical Physics, and the Laboratory of High Energy Physics. And the committee selected the poster, Real-Time Detection of Supernova Neutrino Signal, presented by A. Sheshukov, that will be reported at this session of the Scientific Council. The next meeting of the PAC-PP is now scheduled for June 29 and 30 of 2020. We have here the almost usual list of items that will be included in the agenda. And with this, I would like to conclude my presentation. And for those of you that didn't notice, we have a special day today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Itzhak.
Yep.
Please, questions and comments. I don't see it, but I have a small, uncertitude. This concerns the financement of the projects which are new. Of course, it's not your task to judge the financement, but nevertheless, I'm curious. When a new project appears, or a project that is supposed to end is continued for another year or two or something like that, who pays for these activities and how they are financed?
Who pays for? I mean, I guess if it is approved, there is no problem. You mean if it is not approved?
No, my problem is even in the case that they are approved,
yes.
They are, because they should find a source of financement. How this source is ensured?
I think that this is GINAR. Maybe management wants to comment better than me. I mean, we don't enter that path.
I totally agree that this is not your domain.
Yes.
It's simply my curiosity, and I think that...
I don't know whether the scientific secretary or director...
There are special procedures for consideration of new projects and consideration of analysis of project technical design reports, etc. For example, I may ask you, show please previous slides on this list of projects of elements of NICA.
Which list?
For example, Can we consider, for example, your analysis of presented element of projects MPD as a basis for, let's say, approval TDR of these projects, or not? Or this has to be special expertise? Can we use decisions, program advisory committee, or opinion as a basis for approval of technical design reports of elements of the project?
I was thinking that by default this is the case.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. We move to Marek Levitovic for the nuclear physics pack.
So I will report on the 51st meeting of the PAC for nuclear physics, which took place in the end of January, two last days of January. I put here not the full agenda, but the items which are related to the topics which I will discuss a little more in detail later. So we had the following points on the agenda: research activities under the theme investigation of neutron-nuclear interactions and properties of the neutron, status and prospects, letter of intent, which is related to the first one, to open a new project, modernization of EG5 accelerator, proposal for opening a new project, Becquerel, status of the factor of superheavy elements, prospects for the study of multi-nucleon transfer reactions, poster presentations by young scientists, and scientific reports. So for the first topic, namely for the research activities related to the neutron nuclear interactions and properties of the neutron, I would remind the recommendations which we had not at the last PAC but at the previous PAC, and this we had some concerns related to this program. So at the time, so the future PAC expects more details on the program of the nuclear measurements, in particular the objectives, the priorities, and the complementarity with the worldwide programs. The FLNP directorate is advised to focus on the modernization of experimental halls and pavilions, and the PAC recommends that special attention to be given to the wind delivery system to increase neutron fluxes at the expander places. And the PAC expects a detailed report on this topic to present at the next meeting, what happened in this meeting in January this year. And we had the presentation by Yegor Lichagin on the topics. I cannot cover the full list of the topics which were discussed in this short presentation. I will concentrate on some examples, hopefully, which are demonstrating important prospects for this team. So this is a very broad research program, and the major points are the research of quantum mechanical phenomena with ultra-cold neutrons, study of properties of the neutrons, study of nuclear reactions induced by neutrons, and applied research using nuclear physics methods. I will shortly present some of them because some of them were already shown in the previous talks before lunch, so this is a relatively easy task. The first one is the example of the development of the advanced very cold neutron source, and this is an important future development, ongoing development and future project for the laboratories. This work is also done by the important international collaboration, having the support from the EU Kremlin Plus project. So you see here the participants in this international topic. During the last years, especially a lot of simulation experimental work was done to define optimal parameters of the powder and its production for this ultra or very cold neutron source. And what was stated in the presentation that in the 48 months starting from February 2020, the prototype of the very cold neutron source should be developed and tested experimentally, and the full project will be developed on the basis of these tests. This is the next topic related to TAG, neutrons and gamma rays project, TAGRA. So this was already shown in the presentation on related to nuclear physics. As among many topics which are tackled at this facility, there are measurements of the yields and angular correlations of gamma rays, measurements of the reactions of N to N and fission, and you see here on the right side the table all elements which were already measured for these reactions in red and in green, the plans for the next few years with this facility. So here, just a reminder, there are 40 MeV neutrons which are measured and in fact tagged by the alpha particles emitted at the same time. Then next project is related to investigations of various fission parameters and characteristics of prompt fission neutron emission. So there's the new setup which is also shown. So very shortly, this setup will allow to measure with the high precision two fission fragments, with the high precision of the angular distributions, and at the same time, there are 32 neutron detectors which are placed close to the axis of the ionization chamber to guarantee the maximum efficiency, about 0.8 pi for the neutrons. So the setup was totally assembled. The work place at the beamline at Iran facility was prepared. And the last two examples on the this time on the applied research, this was also to some extent shown in the previous presentations. So there's a large palette of the experimental techniques which I use for the applied research. I put here two examples. One is related to the international program Heavy Metal Atmospheric Deposition. So this is the chart of the Moscow, region with different points which measured in which the pollution of the molybdenum tungsten and heavy metals in general was measured, showing the degree of the pollution in this region. And I too pick up one example for Faisal. So this is the example of the joint work on the Muscle Watch project between GNR and South Africa, in which this muscle were collected at the South African coast. And without surprises, it's better to not eat immediately maybe the mussels which are very close to the Cape Town, as the pollution is the highest, what I think could be expected, but it was measured precisely in this project. Another example is coming from the neutron resonance capture analysis, which is non-destructive analysis of different samples, with two examples shown here. For the coins, which are coming from the largest treasure of the Bosphorus Straits of the from the 3rd and 4th centuries. So it's possible to measure the elemental content of these coins. You might see that the silver was really the minority in these coins. Essentially, they were made of copper. And in the coming years, there are interesting samples coming from the Russian, from the Archaeology Institute of the Russian Academy of Science, and they will measure with the same technique, allowing this measurement for the elemental content. So now the recommendations. I'm putting always recommendations in grid from the last PAC meeting. So the PAC recommends that the priorities of this STEM be better focused. We still think that this is a very, very broad spectrum of different topics which can be focused better. Special attention should be paid to the development of the key technologies for the new neutron source, or the cold neutron source. The PAC appreciates the development of activities related to the intense resonant neutron source at Iran. The PAC encourages an activities and active use of the extracted beams for both basic and applied research in order to make more efficient use of the facility's operating time. So I would say the concerns which we had in the fifth meeting of the PAC were answered in this presentation, but only partially. The next topic, it was the letter and intent to open a new project, modernization of the EG5 accelerator and development of its experimental infrastructure. So in two words, this new project, the modernization of the EG5, will consist essentially for the accelerator part in the energy upgrade from 2.9 MeV today to 4.1, and the current, a huge increase in the current from 100 nanoamps today to 50 microamps in the future. There are technical solutions which are proposed for this upgrade of the accelerator. At the same time, there's the development of the experimental infrastructures which are proposed with the new spectrometers, microbeam project, and use of multi-beam configuration. For this three-year letter of intent for a moment, this is not yet the project, the estimated cost is $1.5 million. So the recommendation of the PAC for this project is the PAC supports the presentation of a full proposal within the team on related to neutrons. The project should define expected accelerator specifications in accordance with the priorities of the scientific program. And we had some discussion also on two possible options for this upgrade of the EG5 accelerator. So the PAC recommends comparing carefully the two options, modernization of the present EG5 accelerator or purchase of a new accelerator, taking into account the risk associated with the proposed upgrade. So in agreement with this recommendation, the next one is asking that the full project should include detailed information about the schedule, human and financial resources, as well as a risk analysis. I would like to also to repeat this sentence, which was also asked at the previous PAC meeting for all projects, which will be presented, I think, for the all PACs. We absolutely need this information to assess really the feasibility of the project, not to distribute money, but to assess if the project is feasible. And this information on the budget and the human resources involved in the projects were, and also the risk analysis was, so this information was not always present. Now the project, exactly the proposal for the opening a new project, Becquerel, we had a lot of discussions on the project. In two words, this is the project related to the measurements of the traces in the emulsions. So this is, of course, the topic with the long, long tradition. In Dubna, but also in physics in general. The studies, of course, this technique has some opportunities and particularities, very high resolution, which can determine the emission angles of relativistic fragments very precisely. And the project which was presented is devoted to experiments with various accelerators at different energies, studies to the multi-fragmentation process, and the authors plan to search for unstable states in nuclei. As I said, we had a long discussion on this, so the recommendation here is a kind of compromise, which with the drawbacks of compromises. The PAC recommends that the lab directorate provide financial support for the renovation of the equipment, only for the renovation. So it's not really the full project equipment used by this experiment for 1 year. And the proposal should be presented at the PAC meeting, the full proposal for the evaluation in January 21. So this is, as I said, a compromise. We had a long, long, long discussion on this project, and I think this discussion with the final assessment, a final decision, will continue in January 2021. Now I will go very fast through the topics, which was already presented two times today. So the status of the factor of superheavy elements, first of all, related to the development of the cyclotron, the C 280 by Vasily Siomin. So there are beautiful tasks which were accomplished in the last year or so, and this is the progress in one half of the slide, which was obtained in 6 months or so with the new beams, which were accelerators. So this was the status in July. This was the status in December last year. There were several beams or several energies of the beam of calcium 48 accelerated in the end of the year, and also this is true for argon and krypton beams. So the situation by today is the argon beam of in the intensity of 10 particle microamps was extracted from the accelerator. Calcium 48 beam with intensity of 5 particle microamps, 50% efficiency was obtained from the XL injection point to the transport channel, and 90% efficiency through the transport channel to the separator, 5% beam current stability. There are still ongoing tasks related to the stability, for example, of different elements, and the improvement of the efficiency. This table was shown, so I just want to put your attention on 2 points. Now, these very high intensities, which were obtained for argon and calcium 48 beams, and in green, there are still to-do tasks. So the power flat top generator for the accelerator scheme should be implemented. The emittance of the beam should be measured and should be shown that this emittance is in agreement with the design value. And that the accelerator efficiency, I think, is already excellent. It's over 50%, but I think it will be still improved in the coming months. So this was also mentioned that the status of the separator, which is used for, will be used for the super heavy element studies, was presented with the excellent first results. There are several reactions which were tested in this first months of the operation. I put here just one slide, I think very nicely illustrating what was the achievement, what are the performances of this new separator, gas field separator, which is shown on the right side. And this a typical spectrum obtained for the recoils with the old gas field separator. So you see here the background for the recoils, which is exceeding what should be measured for the interesting recoils for this particular reaction. And this background is very close to zero for the new one, which behaves much, much better than before. I would like to flash this beautiful spectra of the alpha emitters measured in different reactions during the commissioning phase with the high cross sections, 10 to the 8 to the 9 picobond. So this is showing that everything, including electronics, is working perfectly. And this was also shown. This is the goal of the first experiment at the super heavy element factory. Interaction of americium plus calcium leading to moscovium, trying to measure the excitation function for the free N channel for the moscovium, looking for the new isotope also in the 5N channel, measuring spectroscopic properties of different nuclei. So this is to come soon. The PAC recommendations for this topic, status of the super heavy element factory. The PAC congratulates the Fluorof Laboratory of Nuclear Actions for the excellent work in this slightly highly demanding field of super heavy elements research. The intensities achieved already at the DC 280 are already among the highest in the world, and I think the intensity in this energy range for the calcium 48 is really the highest in the world currently at all facilities everywhere in the world. The PAC recommends that Fluorof Lab continue the efforts of completing the test experiment and starting the implementation of the experimental program at the super heavy element factory. The last topic which was presented, these are the prospects of the start of multinuclear transfer reactions. This was mentioned also this morning. So this is a promising reaction mechanism which can cover several regions of the chart of nuclei which are unexplored so far, both on the proton-rich side, also on the neutron-rich side, and maybe close to the region of the super heavies. So it's quite extended effort in many laboratories in the world towards full exploration of these opportunities. In Dubna, there are also the results of the studies of this multinucleon transfer reaction at the Shells separator. So this is just one example showing for the different reaction cross sections for different elements for the reaction titanium plus lead. And here it was quite nice sensitivity of this kind of experiments, which was achieved, which is shown here, 10 picobars per steradian in a short run. So the next experiment is scheduled in 2 months for the calcium plus americium reaction. The continuation, the future plans for this study are related to the new project, which was not presented yet, but this is under consideration, which is called STAR. So this is the new setup for the separator for transactinide research, which is schematically shown here. And this will allow the measure reaction products at different angles, so rotate the spectrometer around the target. And there's also the program under development for the spectrometer. So the PAC remarks that along with the study of the new isotopes, the exploration of this multi-nucleon transfer reaction mechanism is of great importance and strongly supports the development of a specialized setup dedicated to the comprehensive study of such mechanisms. Investigations of this multi-nucleon transfer reactions will highly benefit from the upgrade of the U-400 cyclotron complex, where it is planned to produce also a uranium beam of sufficient intensity. So this will be the new dimension for this kind of studies at the floor of laboratory. The PAC recommends presenting as soon as possible a detailed project of a new dedicated setup aimed at the measuring features of these multinucleon transfer reactions and their products, like mass, energy, angular distributions, and so on. And the PAC also recommends substituting this project with an in-depth theoretical study aimed at clarifying the correlation of the entrance channel of the reaction with the above-mentioned features of these multinucleon transfer reactions. And finally, we heard with the interest two scientific reports, one on the fusion reactions in nuclear astrophysics by Vazgen Sargsyan, and the another one on investigation of prompt neutron from fission-induced resonance neutrons by Shakir Zeynalov. So the PAC put shortly the recommendations also related to these two scientific reports. We had also the poster session with the 13 posters, this time related to the field of research at the Florov Laboratory. And the best poster selector are study of the nobelium isotopes is Gabriela Ray, presented by Elena Kuznetsova, effective method of excitation function measurements for alpha-N reactions at low energies, presented by Elvira Gazieva, and data acquisition and control system developed for the synthesis of super-heavy elements at the experiment at DGFRS2, FLNGNR, presented by Schlatauer. And the first of these three posters was recommended for the presentation, this scientific council, which will, and this presentation will take place tomorrow, will be given by Elena Kuznetsova. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Questions or remarks? Faisal?
Yeah, there are two cases of refurbishment or upgrade of. One is electrostatic machine, the other is emulsion detector. The general understanding is that when you refurbish something, you have to prove that it's cost effective and that you include the aging of other parts than the one you are. I'm talking especially about the electrostatic machine. One has, and I think you have it on recommendation, need to compare the price of state-of-the-art company, industrial company, to provide you the best machine, the best iron source ever, to whatever would be invested in human resources, capital, and all the burden of managing aging other parts. So, and the emulsion, I think, is the same question. I mean, same recommendation.
So, two words more about this this particular project. So, we had a discussion, much more detailed discussion that I presented in my report here. So, also the cost of the project was estimated. However, the cost of the new machine with the similar performances, let's say, we had different opinions, varying by several millions. So I think we ask really for the very careful analysis of the cost and especially for the risk, because this modernization is not without the risk. Even if it's done, it will be done with the company producing this kind of accelerator. But still, it's a delicate point. It might turn out that this the risk is so high that it's better to buy the new machine, which is under guarantee.
Just for your information, 3 million euro with two ion sources, very intense, 100 microamp, alpha and proton, and the other sources for any other type of ion.
Yeah, it's. I fully agree. It's not a particularly demanding or particularly performant accelerator, but it serves for the community which is here.
Ivan, please.
Thank you. It is my remark is the same. I remember it well that this machine was constructed in the 60s, last century. It is more than 50 years in operation, and I think that in these 50 or 55 years, the world was changed completely. And now it is completely different possibilities and opportunities. And I appreciate that this idea. I think that with respect to these properties, it is possible to construct such equipment and much easier only to spend the money, but not only money, but you need the time for the modernization and so on, and time is money, as everybody knows.
I think the approach, just one sentence, the approach was very good. It was, in fact, the letter of intent. So I think that our recommendations then should be taken into account for the full project.
Yeah. Sydney?
Concerning the deep elastics, it's very attractive.
I appreciate that the pack gave this very positive feedback. But why they are not including the possibility of spectroscopy together with the measuring masses and the...
It is included. Yeah.
It's included.
It's not yet the full project. It's a very bright idea of how to continue this research. So we are waiting, but I think this is not easy to surround this final point with to measure the properties, okay. Of course. Although there are maybe some problems of the separation, but okay. This will be, I'm sure, developing the full project.
Sydney, please.
Mike, you presented in the beginning some project about nuclear fragmentation with nuclear emulsion. And I read the word opportunities. What opportunities are there?
So the opportunities are essentially in the analysis. So we had also, I refer here to the full report and presentation which are on the Indico website. I couldn't present all of them. So this group is quite active. There are several young researchers in this group. And they are analyzing the data. Usually these emulsions, which analyzing, they were irradiated in different different accelerators, including GSI, by the way, also, and ours. They are analyzing and they are producing results. So this is what we call the opportunities. Without judging the final result of the deliberation, I can tell that we had a lot of criticism as well on this topic during the deliberation of the PAC. So, yeah, we'll see what will happen in January.
Sorry, I understood the word opportunity by trying to compare online, you know, detectors and you don't know today, right?
The only argument which I hope it's objective what I'm saying, that for the fast ions, the angle which can be measured, the precision in the angular distribution measurement is extremely high for the emulsion. That's true. This is, however, of course, the energy is not measured really, and many other drawbacks, of course, which we all know.
Some other questions? If not, thank you again, Marek.
Thank you.
Now, for the condensed matter physics, Professor Deneš Nagy. Please, Deneš.
Yeah, dear colleagues, I think I can make this presentation quite fast due to the excellent presentation earlier today by Boris Sharkov in connection with the 7-year plan. So what I would like to report on, that was the 51st meeting, 2021st January this year. And as always, I show you the program. You will hardly be able to read it. It is also not very interesting. I would better enumerate four highlights of this PAC meeting. First, progress in development of a concept for a new neutron source for GINR. Second, main results of the instrumentation development and scientific research in condensed matter physics at the IBR2 reactor last year. Third, FLMP user program at the IBR2 spectrometers. These two items are, of course, strongly connected to each other. And finally, report on the project for open information and educational environment. So let me start with the first one, the development of the concept for a new neutron source at GINR. It was based on a presentation by Professor Valery Shvitsov. The PAC heard the progress report on developing the concept of the new neutron source at FLMP, and the PAC noted the results of consideration of the two alternative concepts of DNS4, namely the pulse neutron reactor IBR3 with neptunium-237 core and the accelerator-driven spallation neutron source with plutonium oxide core providing a neutron multiplication factor of about 20 to 50. As you may remember, this has already been discussed as two alternatives also at the last meeting. Meanwhile, both options have been under feasibility study at the Dorezhal Research and Development Institute of Power Engineering in Moscow. And the final recommendation made within this study was based on such criteria as achievable neutron characteristics, nuclear safety, engineering complexity, timeline, and of course estimated costs. Finally, it was found that the engineering complexity of the second option, namely the accelerator-driven source, made its implementation quite uncertain, both in terms of time and also costs. And therefore, the pulse neutron reactor IBR3 with neptunium nitride fuel will become the working concept for further development of DNS4. There was, as a consequence of this decision, a joint meeting of the Presidium of the Science and Technology Council of the Rosatom State Atomic Energy Corporation and leaders of the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. They, of course, discussed also other issues in connection with NICA and so on. So the state corporation Rosatom and GINR signed a cooperation agreement on partnership interaction in some issues of leading scientific projects, including the development of the NICA collider complex, the Xi factory, and the use of the IBR2 pulse reactor and the development of the new pulse reactor facility in Dubna. The IBR3 fast pulse reactor was a topic of the report by FLNP scientific leader Professor Aksionov, Viktor Aksionov. The co-author of the report was Professor Lopatkin from Nikiet. And this is the timeline, the roadmap of the construction of this IBR3 pulsed neutron source, starting actually two years ago, so 2018. So these two items have already been completed. And then step by step, we arrive at 2036. When the new source is accepted to be commissioned and become operational for users. Of course, I have no time to enumerate all these steps, but this diagram has been already elaborated in quite some detail, as you see. And accordingly, the PAC formulated two recommendations. First, the PAC congratulates the FLNP Directorate on determining the working concept of the new neutron source and recommends its deeper elaboration. Nevertheless, there was a point which was discussed in quite some detail during the PAC meeting and also, by the way, during the strategic working, the corresponding strategic working group as well. The PAC has significant concerns about the background of the new facility. Let me emphasize that I don't mean conceptual background, this is the physical background, of course, the physical background, and especially not only of the facility itself, but separately at each spectrometer, which is very critical for all the experiments. So, therefore, the PAC draw attention to the crucial importance of achieving background levels on IBR3 and its instruments corresponding to the world best practice. This point will be formulated a bit more explicitly in the draft resolution of this scientific council. Second, the main results of the instrumentation development and scientific research in condensed matter physics at the IBR2 reactor last year. The PAC was informed by Denis Kozlenko about the main results of the instrumentation development and the scientific research in the field of condensed matter physics at the IBR2 reactor. And as you see, since 2011, we have some development. That time, 11 instruments were in operation. Now there are 15 instruments operational. These are the most important ones are enumerated here. And this is just a kind of kaleidoscope. I don't expect you to read all the details, and I also have no time for it. But the PAC considers the activities focused on the upgrade of the IBR2 instruments to be important for providing competitive research opportunities for the realization of the FLNP scientific program to the external users and for expanding the research areas. The recommendation was, the PAC appreciates the demonstrated examples of the new scientific results and the instrumentation developments at IBR2 achieved in 2019. At its future meetings, the PAC requests that the instrumentation development and the highlights of obtained scientific results be reported separately. You may remember that at the last scientific council session, I presented a bit more direct formulation, which we found it was too much critical, it was not easy to be fulfilled. We expected namely that each instrument and each subject be considered very critically and presented very critically. We realized that that was not really the task of the PAC, but what we expect to be highlights, scientific highlights and instrumentation development be presented separately. This has, of course, many reasons. The most important is, of course, that a scientific project, a scientific theme is based on an existing facility, an existing and operational spectrometer, and the timeline for a spectrometer is, of course, much, much longer, should be much, much longer. It should be analyzed regularly, but it is much, much longer than that of a scientific topic. As concerning the FLMP user program, which this was presented by Dorota Hudobak, and this is just a quick overview of the FLMP user program last year. 2,680 hours for experiments were completed. This is quite a substantial figure, and actually during this time, this already a comparison from 15 to 19, the number of proposers was slightly increasing, or it's more or less stable, and the acceptance rate is, it's quite high, but it is, of course, not 100%. It is around something like 80 to 90%. As concerning, however, the spectrometer demand, it is very unproportional. The most demanded spectrometer is UMO, the Smallinger scattering facility, and of course also the refusal rate is the highest here, because there is really a very high competition, while others are of course a bit different. And also concerning the time, for example, you may observe in case of SCAT there is an increase, then GRAINS is a new reflectometer, it's also increasing, and so on. But none of them may compete with the small angle scattering facility. Now, there was a quite lively discussion about the need of the scientific reports. Actually, the reviewer cannot judge about the next proposal without having scientific report, and that's why we encourage the laboratory to insist on submitting the scientific reports. This is the fraction of the scientific report. Of course, the last year is not yet significant because, for example, some experiments have been completed 2 months ago, so you cannot still expect an experimental report right now. But for the others, it is around 50% or slightly above, which is still not enough, and we encourage very much the laboratory to increase this rate. As concerning the proposal distribution with science, so the disciplines, material science and physics are the leading ones. Admittedly, physics is decreasing and life sciences are increasing. So, of course, there are tendencies which can be observed, and then they can also be well understood. This is also a quite nice analysis presented by Dorota. This is namely the instrument scientific outcome, which means the statistics after applying a weighting factor that is based on the journal impact factor. And you see again that the most efficient one was UMO, And the second one was the high resolution Fourier diffractometer, while the others were a bit more fluctuating. A new expert group should be formed and PAC supported this idea, namely for neutron activation analysis, REGATA. This is just a snapshot from the IBR2 user club. This is a web page, and PAC decided to support further developing the FLMP user program with the included neutron activation analysis facility. The former recommendation was the PAC recommends considering the possibility of changing the application submitting period for the second round. That was actually a second recommendation. That was a technical issue. It's not very important. The deadline at the end of the year should be changed by several weeks in order to avoid conflicts with the holidays. So I don't think it's really a very, it's of course a very important point from the technical point of view, but it has no principal impact. Now, the inelastic neutron scattering was presented by Professor Zayats and Dr. Dorota Hudobak. Actually, the PAC took note of the fact that the existing two spectrometers mentioned in these reports were no longer satisfying the requirements of users from Eastern Europe, and the PAC all took note of the progress of work of opening the new project of developing a new inelastic neutron scattering spectrometer within the SEAM investigations of condensed matter by modern neutron scattering methods for 21 to 23. Also, some details were presented at the PAC. The idea is to develop a new spectrometer in two steps. I don't go into details because this has not been concluded yet. The PAC recommended to continue the analysis, and the recommendation was that the PAC supports the development of a new inelastic neutron scattering or new inelastic scattering instruments and the preparation for opening the new project for the period 21-23. And the PAC expects a detailed proposal for this new project to be presented at the next PAC meeting this summer. This is in between. There was a presentation on the development of a neutron radiography and tomography instrument at the WWRK reactor in Almaty, Kazakhstan. This was presented by Dr. Nazarov on developing a neutron radiography and tomography facility at this reactor of the Institute of Nuclear Physics in Almaty in collaboration with FLMP. Already a protocol has been signed. The PAC took note of the description of the main components of the experimental setup and the results of the first text experiments. Here are some parameters listed, and the recommendation was the PAC complements the results of this activity and recommends following up with the implementation of suggested research program. And the last highlight was a report on the project development of an open information and educational environment to support research priorities in material science and structure of matter presented by Dr. Panebratsev. And the proposal for opening a new project, open information and educational environment for supporting fundamental and applied multidisciplinary research at GINR, that will be actually the continuation of the previous one. The goals of the project are very ambitious. Use of modern educational technologies for various training methods and courses for students and specialists to work at GINR, attracting talented youth from the participating countries to work at GINR, integration of the results of fundamental and applied research obtained at JNR into the educational process in the JNR member states and associate members, collaboration with leading world scientific centers like CERN and Brookhaven to create educational resources for physics teachers and high school students, promotion of fundamental and applied multidisciplinary research conducted at JNR and the JNR brand to a wide audience, development of courses prepared by the leading JNR specialists for international open education platform, creation of educational and exhibition content on JNR topics at the level of leading research centers. And this is, again, a sort of kaleidoscope. Again, no time to go into details, but you see that this project has a very, very broad scope. And the recommendation of the PAC was as to the successful implementation of the project, development of an open information and educational environment to support research priorities in materials science and structure of matter, the PAC supports its completion and recommends opening the new project, open information and educational environment for supporting fundamental and applied multidisciplinary research at JNR for implementation in 21-23 within the theme organization support and development of the JNR human resources program. In future reports on this new project, the PAC would like to be informed on the integration of the JNR educational environment into educational schedules and plans of the JNR member states, universities, and scientific organizations. You know, that's always a very hard issue because it does not only depend on JNR. It very much depends on the authorities responsible for the curricula at various countries. Finally, there were some scientific reports at the conference enumerated here by Dr. Artsumayan, Volodya Skuratov, and Yuri Shukrinov. The PAC thanked the speakers for their excellent presentation. And there was a poster session, and we selected three excellent posters, by the way, just by chance, presented all by young ladies. And the poster, Neutron Activation Analysis as a Tool for Tracing the Accumulation of Silver Nanoparticles in Tissues of Female Mice and Their Offspring, presented by Irina Zinitsovskaya, was selected as the best poster at this session, and the others are listed here. The recommendation was that we recommend this poster by Dr. Zinitsovskaya to be presented, to be reported at this present session of the Scientific Council, and this is our this will be our next meeting scheduled for 2nd, 3rd July this year, and this is the preliminary agenda, or basically our routine exercise. So we will continue our work with the support of the Scientific Council, and I thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Denis. Questions, comments? Thank you again, Dan.
Thank you very much.
Dear colleagues, the next point on the agenda concerns the election of directors and deputy directors, and therefore the session will be a closed one. Which means that we kindly ask our guests to leave the hall temporarily.